It is great again to be here in the house of the Lord. I promise you, Kenny, I won't take your music this time because you took it. But I can't promise you how short I will be today. But I come here humbly and I'm privileged to get into God's word. Let's take our responsive reading today and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and I'll be reading from the King James, starting with verse 73. I'll read the odd if you'll join me on the evens. Psalm 119, verses 73 through 81. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted or affected me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I may meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto thee, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Verse 75 again. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. A good word for the day and the times that we live in. And it's just a great reminder, as we talked about last week. God, you got this. God, you've got this. As the old song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Well, today, we pray that he just covers each and every day of our lives, because we live, or could live, in fearful days. They're definitely troubling, but we're so glad that he is God in charge and that his judgments are right. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and open God's word, or go back, I should say, to our passage today for study, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, the beginning of the Bible. We're going to start at verse 20 and read through the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Lord, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shalt not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And the Lord said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke unto them yet again and said, Peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And the Lord said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And Abraham said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 be found there. And the Lord said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, you know that this message today has been convicting, and it's been a struggle for me. Father, I pray that I am but ashes and dust. And I pray that it will not be my words, but Father, your words from your Holy Spirit will speak life. And as we stepped into the sanctuary today, Father, may we step out with a greater understanding of your ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 1960s, there was a comedian who tickled the funny bone of America. And I say that because back then, kids, there were just 3 networks. And so everybody was pretty much watching the same thing. And this comedian really created a craze because his sketch on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, Flip Wilson, would come in and say, here come the judge, here come the judge, order in the court, the court's in session. And the people loved it. It was a crazy, crazy laugh for America. I guess you had to be there. But for the 60s, it was, well, a crazy time. And it was so funny because back then, well, the legal system was held in high esteem. If not infallible, it was reliable. My, how times have changed. And the 60s, if you were there and remember, you know the 60s were a day of change. Today, our country does not really respect the legal system, the judicial system, because you see, we find that justice is not always served. People who do terrible things sometimes get off scot-free, and people who don't do much at all, we go, why are they being convicted? And so law is something we just struggle with. Today, I want to share with you that we can rest because we have a righteous judge. And he is going to make everything right. Oh, I can get stressed the more I watch TV. I can be freaked out the more I'm on my device. I can get really warped on social media. Actually, I don't do social media. But I know that there's a God in heaven that is in control. And princes will come and go, kings will come and go, presidents will come and go, but God is in charge. And so today, I want to share with you something that's been on my heart, that he's in charge. Three things I want to point out to you today. First of all, God did judge righteously. As we look back to the passage that we just read, Abraham was a righteous dude. He was a righteous man, and he goes into this negotiating with God. He starts out with 50, and he breaks it down to 45, to 40, to 10. And what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to preserve his nephew, Lot, and his wife and his two girls. And he figures, okay, that's Lot. He's got his wife, two girls, that's four. Surely there are six more righteous people in Sodom. But there weren't, were there? As God poured out his wrath and left this city in ashes and dust, much like some of us feel about certain cities or countries right now that we currently live in, we pray, Lord, please preserve, because the days are wicked. But God delivered Lot because he considered Lot a righteous man. How do you know that? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 6. So we're going to go from the beginning of the Bible to the end, back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. 2 Peter 2, 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. God is giving us a warning. He's saying, don't be a jerk. Live right. Obey my commandments. Live for me. If you believe in me, then you will honor me with your life. Verse 7. And delivered just Lot. That doesn't mean that he just delivered Lot by himself. It means that Lot was a righteous guy. And if you read the Bible, I'm not sure if Lot was righteous, because there are some sketch things that went on in his life, but God considered him just. Why? Because the just shall live by what? Faith. Lot had faith in God. He trusted God. He had faith in God. And that warms my heart, knowing that God considered him just by his faith, because Lot was human like the rest of us, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot is living in this city that is dirty and dank and dangerous and sinful. And Lot knew it. How do I know that? Because he was vexed. What does vexed mean? Vexed means that you're bummed. Vexed means that Lot was just vexed by everything he saw, and he was bummed by all this immorality. You ever feel that way? Whether you're 18 or 38 or 58 or 98, you ever get vexed with our culture? No. Well, you better do a heart check with the Lord, because those of us that have lived a few decades, we can see how things are just going down this slippery slope. And so Lot was vexed. He was bummed by what was going on in his Sodom city. Well, why did he stay there? Why did he continue to live there? Why did he raise his family there? I don't know. Why do I sit there and watch that on my device and I just sit there? Why do we make the sinful decisions that we do? Sad to say. And so those things should vex me. Sin should vex me. It should bum me. Why is that? Well, because sin stinks. Sin is not bad because it's forbidden. It's forbidden because it's bad. Bad. I've used this analogy with my kids and in the classroom. If I bake a batch of brownies and I bring them in the classroom. Remember, Matt, when I used to do that? And I would bake a batch of brownies. Mr. K would do the same thing for a reward. And I say, kids, can you smell the brownies? Oh, yeah, they smell great. Would you like to have a piece? Oh, yeah, let's go for it. Well, kids, I got to tell you, because I live on a farm, just to add a little extra protein, I put a little sheep poop in it. Those kids would not touch that. Even though it looks good, it looks appetizing, they're going to go, Mr. A, no thanks on that. You can skip me today on that. That's the way sin should be for me. It should vex me. It should be something I slam the door shut, and the Bible says to flee youthful lust, flee enemy lust, flee the enemy. And that's what sin should be in my life. I should hate it. I should disdain it. Verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He saw it. He lived it. Just like we do. Whether we live in Trail or Shady Cove or the Villages, Florida or Portland. It doesn't matter. We see it all around us. We know sin. We can see it. And it should vex me and vex you, and we should abstain from it. We are sinners. That we are. So what about today? God, we can see how he judged rightly with Sodom. What about today? So number one, God did judge rightly. Number two, God will judge rightly. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man, no woman, no one. That's the only way. And people don't like to hear that. But that's what the Bible says. He is the way. Well, I'm not sure I believe that. Well, maybe you need to take a look around. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, a great passage from God. Romans 1, 17. And we get back to Lot, because Lot was a righteous man. It says in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that again warms my heart because I'm a sinner. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So what the Lord is saying there is that even though we know the truth, even though it's in our heart, we know what's right. In our brain, we know what's right and wrong. In our very mouth, we still hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so, let's read verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. We know it consciously. Every man, every woman, ever created knows the truth in their very heart. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Those last six words really, really enlighten me, for that they are without excuse. My family that does not know Jesus, your family and friends that don't know Jesus, they know there's a creator. This verse says, look around. Look around. Look around outside at that little anthill. Look around at Crater Lake. Look around at God's creation. The fool has said in his or her heart, there is no God. Creation was made by a creator. And people preach, oh, it just came from the goo to the zoo to you. No. No. People that believe that just want to punch their ticket to be as nasty as they want to be, right? They want a license to sin. And so if they can push the creator factor out of it, then we can just do that. But no, we are responsible to a creator, aren't we? Who made all this beauty. And also, too, it says in verse 19 and 20 that he plants in our heart. We consciously know what is going on. A little while back, I had the privilege to go to my brother's 75th birthday, and we didn't really get to spend a lot of sibling time together. Some of you know my story, but in brief, I was born and raised on the Jersey Shore, and my mother had very strong addictive issues. Because of that, us kids were split up. I was split up at the age of 8, and lots of disharmony, lots of pain. And it was a godsend, but my oldest brother took me in very graciously, and his wife as well, and they raised me a place called Medford, Oregon. And so I moved from Jersey out here, and obviously for a very long time, 10 years, didn't see my mom or dad. But God is good, God is great, and he knows. He's got this. He knew what he was doing because he blessed me because of that, in spite of what the enemy meant for evil. And back to my brother's birthday, he invited two of my cousins to come to his birthday. One I had never met. Another cousin, I remember her two or three times in my life. And we got to talking because she remembered little Freddie when I was a little boy. And she was commenting how it was just amazing how things turned out well for me. And she was glad about that. And I gave credit to my family, but I also gave credit to my King. And I was so grateful to God. And she said, you know, and I know you've probably heard this before. She goes, you know, I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. And I looked her in the eye and I said, Lenny, there are no good people. The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. I said, Lenny, I'm a scumbag and I'm a sinner. We all are. And I said, the question should be, why does good things happen to us bad people? Because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. It comes from above. Not my intellect, because I don't have much. Not because of my good looks, but it's because of the Lord that I can move about and do what God has called me to do. Same with you. We talked about that last week. And so the whole deal is, I said, Lenny, I love you very much, but it's because of the Lord and by his grace that we're able to live and exist. There's a story that is told. It was the end of time. It was at the great white throne judgment. God was sitting on the throne, and there were millions and millions and millions of people there. And there was a rumble in the crowd and a fidgeting as they were preparing for what they knew was going to be judgment. And the people were speaking amongst themselves. And one man spoke out, and he said, God, how can you be a fair judge of us? How can you judge us? You've been sitting on the throne up here in heaven. How can you know our situation? And he rips open his collar and he shows the rope burn around his neck. And he said, I was hanged on a tree because of the color of my skin. How can you know about that, God? And another woman said, and she ripped open her sleeve and she said, God, how can you judge me? And she showed the swastika and the 16 digits on her forearm. And she said, God, how can you judge me when I was shoved into Auschwitz and we were all sent to the gas chamber? You don't know anything about that, God. And another man, he said, and God, I was on the 92nd floor of the South Tower when the jet came and plowed into the South Tower. And we all disintegrated instantly. God, how can you know what was taken away from me? The pain of my family. How can you know? And the crowd's going, yeah, tell it, tell it. And person after person gave their testimony of pain. And then a committee was formed. And they said, God, for you to be able to judge us, we're going to say that you're going to have to leave your comfort zone of heaven and you're going to have to go down to creation and see what it's really like. First of all, God, you're going to need to come down and be born to an illegitimate family where they're going to mock your mom and gossip about her and cause family great pain. The crowd goes, yeah, yeah, that's what it'll be. Then he'll know our pain. And then the crowd said, and not only that, but you'll be born to a race that will be kicked around. And people will pick on your race and culture and try to kill you. And there will be races that will hate yours because of who you are. The crowd said, yeah, that's what we need. And not only that, but you'll be dirt poor. You'll grow up in a city where people joke about, oh yeah, he was from that city. You'll come from a city of poorness. You'll come from a family that is living in poverty, and you'll have nothing but the shirt on your back. Yeah, he'll know what our pain is like. And then as you grow up, you might share your message, but they'll mock you and want to stone you and kill you. Yes, then he'll know. He'll know what we've been through. And not only that, but a friend and other friends in your circle of so-called friends, they will deny you and disgrace you. Yes, they will know. And finally, they will take a murderer and they'll exchange you for him. And they'll let the murderer go, yes, that's what we'll do. And not only that, you will die the most torturous, murderous death that a human being can ever experience. Yes, yes. Then he'll finally know. And you could hear a pin drop because then they saw his hands and they saw his feet and they knew that he had done just that. Our God went through all of the human experience that any of us could ever ascertain. He knows your pain. I don't. The people here don't. Your family may not. But he knows your pain. He is the righteous God. And like we read earlier, righteous and true are his judgments. He knows your beginning. He knows your end and everything in between. He knows your pain, your sadness, your guilt, and your doubt. And he wants to take it all. That's the great God that we serve. It'd be like this. My son Nick and my wife Kathy, they couldn't be here, but My son Nick drove down to LA to shoot a wedding, and let's say he comes back tomorrow, and he's so happy to be out of LA, and he comes back home, and he's cruising down East Pine and Central Point. He's so happy that he's speeding 115 miles an hour. And the police officer pulls him over, throws him in jail. 2 days later, Nick is sitting in court, and in walked the judge, me. Nick didn't know that I changed vocations from semi-retired school teacher to judge. And I have the robe on, and I have the gavel, and Nick goes, "Dad." And I go, "Sit down, son." At that point, all the evidence is delivered. Nick is guilty. And I hit the gavel, guilty as charged. And he goes, "But Dad, our relationship." I said, "I'm sorry, son. $100,000 in 20 years for speeding on East Pine." And he's weeping and he's trembling. And at that point, I take off the robe, and I sit the gavel down, and I walk down, and I write out a check. It would bounce, but I write out the check, and I pay the price for my son, or my daughter, or you. That's what God did for us. He paid the price for you. He paid the price for me. He will, number three, judge righteously. In this day, you may have a tendency, you may have heard other people say, "Where are you, God? Things are terrible. Our country, the United States of America, it's not looking good. Where are you? There's social unrest and rioting. We're coming through a pandemic. The government. There's lawlessness. Big tech seems to be controlling more and more. And there's a lack of morality. God, where are you?" Tonight, when you lay your head down and go to sleep, I want to encourage you to rest easy. Get a really good night's sleep knowing that God is on the throne. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is on the throne. He is in control no matter how bad it gets, no matter how much pain this country endures. God is on the throne, no matter what circumstance that I'm in, no matter what situation you're in or gonna be in, God is on the throne. Amen? Amen? And so we can trust in Him. God, you got this. He's got our country. He's got your family. He's got your situation. He's got your bummer, your depression, your sadness, your anxiety. And He wants to take it all. It's not 10 steps, it's one step. And so, Fred, it's not that easy. It's not, humanly speaking, but with God, all things are possible. Some of you today are not so concerned about the trial that God is going to preside over this country, over this world. But you're going through your own trial. And I'm almost done. I'm almost finished. You have your trial that you're going through. You say, "Fred, this is really haunting." Years ago, I hated pop quizzes, didn't you? I hated pop quizzes. And back in the dark ages at Medford Senior High School, Mr. Maccabee would always give pop quizzes. And he'd say, "Take out a sheet of paper and a pencil," and we would have to write on the line. No, kids, we would have to write on the line. It wasn't online, it was on the line. Very 20th century stuff. We would have to write on the line his math algorithms, and I hated that. quiz after quiz after quiz after quiz after quiz. And life can be that way. Sister, brother, if you're tired of taking the test, pass it. If you're tired of taking the test, pass it. How's that? God says it's open book. Amen. It's open book. Open your Bible, Freddie, each and every day. It's an open book test. God is there to help me, to help you, to help us. And he wants to be there for us. And all I have to do, all you have to do is to pass this test. Whether you're going through cancer, or you're leaving home to go to college this fall, or you're going to miss that child when they go to college this fall, or whatever trial you're going through, open the book. It's an open book test. What do you mean? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. For you will lead me down this path of life. For in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are treasures forevermore. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. For your Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings with eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we know that all things work together for the good to those that love God, even to the end of the age. For I know the plans I have for you, plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Father, I thank you that we have you with us. Father, I thank you that we have your word. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, may we open it each and every breath that we have. May we meditate on it. Lord, may we worship you with eyes wide open during the day. May we fill our minds with you, Lord, because you are good. You are good, Lord, and your mercy endures forever. Oh, Father, I pray that if there be any here, they're going, I don't know any of this, or I haven't opened up my Bible in a long time. I'm not sure if I know Jesus as my own personal Savior and Lord. John 3:3 says, no man or woman can see the kingdom unless you are born again. Being born again, as we know, Lord, is as simple as A, B, C. A, admitting that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. Missing the mark is what sinner means. We fail in this life. So admitting that we are sinners. B, believing that God sent his son. Believing that he sent his son to come and to live among us as a human, and then to die for our sin, and then to raise from the dead, to beat Satan, to beat sin. And then C, confessing Jesus as Lord, that you're in charge now. Confessing that Jesus, you are Lord tomorrow on Monday at work. Or confessing that Jesus, you're the boss of my life amongst your friends at college next fall, or at work, or wherever we're at, that you are number one in my life. May I share with you today, his goal was not to get you to church. He wants to get you to heaven. Being religious is one day a week. Having a relationship is every breath. Jesus wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with you. He loves you so dearly, he gave his life for you. Pray this prayer with me if you do not know Jesus yet. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that on the cross you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and my pain. You took hell for me so I wouldn't have to. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to a purpose on earth. And say it with me, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise his name for who he is and what he has done in our life, what he's going to do. And I pray that if you prayed those words in today, that if you now are a new believer, please talk to one of the brothers, Mike or Ed, or to Ken, or to one of us that know Jesus. We'd love to share with you. We'd love to embrace you. Or one of the sisters, talk to one of the sisters here. Trail Creek Community Church is a Jesus church. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen.